number of people testify on this that one of the main concerns, of course, is trauma to the victim. And I think if you talk about reopening a deposition, that certainly reopens the trauma again. And getting back to what Justice Scalia says, some of these things just bear the cost. The constitutional requirement bears the cost. And the cost here is that we're talking in a situation where the family is already completely traumatized. It's not like the courtroom scene is the cause of the trauma. The trauma has occurred, and the courtroom scene undoubtedly exacerbates that, but still it is a requirement of the Constitution that the person be made to testify. But keep in mind, of course, that if the sentencing guidelines bill passes, the sex offenders are going to be the ones that are going to be going to prison for the longest periods of time. I'd like to think that nobody innocent is going to be going to prison for a great period of time simply because of the passage of this bill.
Madam Chair, the one thing I would add is that I've included in your files a copy of the Coy case. The committee may want to review that. I think everyone recognizes that there are probably, successful or not, going to be constitutional challenges to a number of the portions of these bills. I guess the one section that I do feel at least somewhat comfortable in telling the committee that it's my opinion that it's unconstitutional is that portion of 516 having to do with screening of the defendant. I think that's what Coy holds, although as Mr. Collins has pointed out, it can be successfully distinguished. Nevertheless, that's a holding. I also think that would be the finding under that line of cases having to deal with due process challenges. For instance, the jail code in place cases that say if a person is identified by jail clothing, it's an unconstitutional impingement on his right to a fair trial. Keeping in mind that jail clothing indicates nothing more that the person is in custody. Here, if a screening procedure is used that the jury picks up on, it indicates that the person's guilty. I'd leave it at that, but the Coy case is in your files.
Okay, thank you very much. The committee has lots of independent and individual work to do to decide where we're going to. I expect us to have thought about this till we bring it back, and we will bring it back soon so that we don't lose sight of forget where we were, Senator. And we're going to hear from one public witness yet today. Senator Hill.
Yes, I want to state that we want to get at solving this problem as best as possible, but I want to say if there's some constitutional problems, I don't have any desire to be passing legislation that is going to be constitutional and be struck down, and then we end up with nothing. So whatever we can do we can press the Constitution as far as we can, but I just want to be sure that we're going to pass something that's going to be constitutional. So if you have any ideas as to what can be done to accomplish that, I would like to see that language.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Loretta.
Thank
you. And I would say that appreciate you coming back and understand that you signed up before and we put you off, so you might want to comment on the various amendments if you can understand.
I know a lot about them now.
Yes.
Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Yes, sit down and introduce yourself for the record and then we'll...
I'm Loretta Clark. I live in Gaston. I came here initially to testify about Senate Bill 275. Then I got an idea. And I'd also like to pose that idea today. So for Senate Bill 275, I thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of the children. If giving public testimony was something that children were able to do naturally and without trauma to themselves, there would be hundreds of them here today. Unfortunately, some of the child victims of abuse haven't mastered potty training yet and are only just beginning to talk. I've learned some things about people who will hurt children that the wisest judge, King Solomon, knew a long time ago. He settled a dispute between two women regarding a child, regarding whose baby had died and who would raise the surviving child by ordering that the child be cut in half and that each mother would get half. He knew that one mother would disregard the child because it was already dead. The mother of the surviving child would protect her child at any cost. The people who abuse our children and their defenders know that too. They will use the love of the caretakers of the children and our unwillingness to re-victimize them through the courts as their first defense. The cost to all of us is that there will be more victims, and one day one of them will be you, or will be a child that you love. It is the disregard that I want to talk about. I've noticed from the statements and actions of convicted child abusers that they don't necessarily have any feelings about the children. They don't regard them at all. Consideration for the child was not a concern when they abused, and it's most certainly not a concern when they defend themselves. And that makes me wonder about their defenders, the people with so little regard for an injured child that they will assault them again in court. Do any of you really believe the authors of the U.S. Constitution had in mind your frightened three-year-old when they used the words confront and accuser? House Representative Stan Bunn apparently does, of course. You probably know that he's the most outspoken opponent of...
Well, we don't. Let's not talk about House
Okay.
Members. Skip that over, please.
One would think that reports of $5,000, $50,000 worth of medical and psychiatric and psychological care would be adequate to get at the truth. I know that most or all of you here today are attorneys. You know how you use your right to cross-examine witnesses. Would you want another lawyer to do that to your injured child or grandchild? Probably none of you would assault an injured child. But what about the lawyers who disregard the child? They're the ones who insist on their right to cross-examine the client's accusers, some of whom are not old enough for preschool. They're the ones who will cross-examine the victims whose families seek justice for their children and protection for yours. Senate Bill 275 creates an exception to the hearsay rule for child victims in sex abuse cases. I would urge that you amend the bill to include child victims of physical abuse as well. More children die from physical assault than from sexual assault. These child victims are, if anything, more fearful for their safety and are unable to testify. They already have a knowledge of what will happen to them if the state fails to protect them from their attackers. You're considering Senate Bill 275 because you care about the children and because you care about justice. This bill is your opportunity to act on the interest of both. I'm confident that even without my testimony, you would decide to protect the children. I came here to speak for the children because public testimony, like driving a car or signing a contract, is something they can't do very well for themselves.
Thank you very much.
There's a solution. There's always the constitutional question, and the Constitution is by the people. So I'm recommending or asking for an amendment to the Oregon Constitution to protect our children from assault in court. You are considering Senate Bill 275, the exception to the hearsay rule, and Senate Bill 516, the videotaping of child victims bill, because we need to protect our children from being reassaulted in court by lawyers for their attackers. These are important bills, and we thank you for your concern. I'm sure that we are all afraid that they will not withstand a Supreme Court challenge. We, the voters, want to help you to protect our children, and we can do that by passing an amendment to the Oregon Constitution that clearly defines who an accuser is. We suggest an accuser is a person over the age of 12 years and mentally competent, or the adult caretaker of the child who is making accusations on behalf of anyone who is under the age of 12 or is not mentally competent. When children are physically and sexually abused, they must then be available as witnesses to be cross-examined for the accused. Without the child witness, there can be no prosecution. That's why the people who rape and beat children are not stopped. I'll just go on.
I think we can read pretty much your testimony. Thank you very much.
Just think of this a few days ago. We are prepared to go on with initiative petition to amend our Constitution. I've talked to the people who are here in support of the other child protection bills, and they are in support of my recommended amendment. So if you could give consideration to that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to point out that a lot of the considerations, too, come from the U.S. Constitution. It's not just a matter
but
of the...
The part that I didn't read goes on. I understand that an amendment to the Oregon Constitution would instantly be before the U.S. Supreme Court. They could decide if that was constitutional or not. Even if they did or if they didn't, by then there'd be a national forum. We, the people, have control over the Constitution. We're the only ones who can protect the children adequately.
Okay, thank you very much. And I do want to enter into the record, Mary Lou Gallup is here. She put forward some testimony, which we will enter into the record today. And I know that Mr. Byers is here and is opposed to these bills, and other folks will, as we move along to the final work session, appreciate your comments on the amendments, and we'll give you a chance to stand up and say, let us know what you think. Thank you. We are adjourned for the day. Well, very brief. I think you need to get one or two people that just I don't mind having. We just can't open this up to a wide public hearing again because we'll have 50 people, the same folks again. But I will give an opportunity for spokespeople from either side.
My only real concern,
defense lawyers are there, and district attorneys, Corey in the middle, so that's really their lawyers, assuming that we're all in the defense lawyers among themselves are really dealing with that point. That's really what we're talking about, the people who are practicing, and both sides are specifically your comments, but they do represent the two ends of the poll on both positions.
What I was going to ask when I talked to
And I don't have a problem in inviting.
Well, I'm not saying, hey, look at me.
No, I know you're not. No.
Adequate safeguard here, and that's a real concern of mine.
What I'm saying to you is, I do see you as a resource, and if the members are interested in talking to somebody that's first-hand experience, I'll refer
you. It's not easy just to come up here. I sat here all day because I thought I would get a few minutes. And I wanted to present one of these papers that Judy had around before to each member. And I have a copy of testimony from a lady down in Coos Bay who came to speak before, and we never got a chance to speak.
Well, we'll get the copies of that stuff entered in, no question about it. We'll pass it out right now, and we'll get it out to their offices right away. I didn't realize you had written.
Let's see, where did I put it?
We'll certainly get it.